In today's video, we're going to continue our conversation about why retirement planning is different for women. Specifically, on this episode, we're going to talk about confidence, how women can gain more of it from a financial planning perspective, why there's a lack of it in the first place. We'll also talk a little bit about debt and ultimately solutions for how women can better prepare for retirement. We'll bring Janine in and get things started coming up next. All right, Janine, are you ready for part number two of our conversation today?
We're ready.
All right, let's dive in. In part one of this discussion about retirement planning for women, we talked a little bit about the gender pay gap, just kind of defining what it means, why it exists, what problems it creates. We talked about how women face career interruptions and also have to face more and more often these days the fallout from divorce, even later in life, and the problems that makes. And just in general, the fact that women live longer and that creates its own problems. It's kind of a good problem to have, I suppose, but still a problem nonetheless. And so, unfortunately, Janine, it wasn't enough to fit into one episode all of the problems that women face when it comes to retirement. So we had to break it into two. So let's continue with our conversation here and now talk about debt. And this is something I think that gets overlooked a little bit. Outstanding debt can slow down saving for anybody, pretty much. But an interesting study done by T. Rowe Price back in 23 found a notable gender disparity in debt, with more women holding debt across various categories, including credit cards, medical debt, and student loans. And kind of the broader stat here is 60% more women reported outstanding student loan debt than men. So what's going on here? Why do women have so much more debt? And just how detrimental is that to their preparation for retirement?
You know, this is a really tough one because, I mean, we could have a whole show on the whole student debt issue across the board. But I think, a lot more women are attending college. I think that, in fact, the women outnumber men in college now. And the government taking over student debt allowed a lot of, in fact, at the point that they did that, tuition costs rose significantly. So you have a lot of women in college taking majors or majoring in subjects that are not necessarily going to be a good return on the money because they tend to be in more social careers than in the sciences, the math, et cetera, which is where a lot of our very tech society is going. So they're having a struggle because when they get out of college and they get hired, they're not earning the kind of money they need to earn to pay off the debt sooner. And the nature of the debt and the way it's set up, depending on how they've negotiated this debt, the interest rates are just really high. So, not understanding the math behind interest rates and loans and the debt service is pretty significant. And a lot of women, it's not just women, a lot of people across the board really haven't looked at what that math is going to be. And unfortunately, a lot of parents wanting their kids to go to college really didn't have that discussion either. So if you're a teacher and you go get your master's in education and you've got $50,000-$60,000 worth of student debt, and that's on the low end of some I've seen, it's pretty significant. I have a client whose daughter went to an art college, very successful art college. She has a wonderful job, good for her, because those are difficult to come by when you major in art, in the fine arts. But the debt service, because they happen to take a Parent PLUS loan, and the debt service or the interest rates at 8%. That's massive. And one of the concepts that a lot of people don't understand is if you make the minimum payment on your student loan, you're never going to pay this loan off. And it's going to capitalize, which means grow, at that interest rate. So that's part of the issue, is people not understanding the math behind interest rates. And so even on credit cards, one of my sons-in-law did not, when he came out of college, understand that, even though his dad was in the financial services business, apparently he didn't impart that knowledge.
Oh, man.
And he didn't understand capitalizing what would happen with the interest rate. My daughter had to explain.
Maybe it was selective listening.
Yeah, it could have been, it could have been. But, that's really key, is you end up with more debt, even though you're paying. I've seen multiple stories on this, where I have all this debt and it's, I can't get out from under it. That's a huge problem for a lot of people. And for women, if you've gotten into a career that's not going to pay you, you know, more than six figures, you know, right out of the gate, it's going to be really difficult. So there are some strategies. It might take a joint, you know, some communications and some joint operations between parents and children to help. And this is what's happening, is a lot of parents are helping with student debt. But you really, especially for like the Gen Z, they're seeing this in terms of what's happened with the millennials. And they've actually been a little smarter with how they're handling this in some instances. But yeah, for women, it's a huge deal, because you're getting into the workforce, and then all of a sudden you get married and you want to have a family. Who's paying the debt?
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm kind of seeing all of this snowball now, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. none of these problems live in a vacuum. They all start to snowball on one another. It really does come back to maybe having children and facing those career interruptions. Right. It's just like, it's not that's not its own problem. It just amplifies all of these other things that we talked about on the previous episode and this one, and kind of just throwing that debt conversation in there on top of it again. Now you've taken on this debt, and you've maybe now taken a break for helping to raise children and have children. And so in addition to not working, you also aren't paying off that debt that was accumulated. So you're paying the debt off finally, maybe eventually down the line, a lot later, after interest has had plenty of time to hurt you along the way. And yeah, that's a serious issue, not just for people getting close to retirement, but young women need to be kind of thinking about this angle too.
Absolutely. And one of the things that a lot of folks don't realize is some of this student debt, depending on, you know, who you've gotten the debt from, it's a 10-year amortization schedule, which means your premium payments are higher. So if they could just negotiate, you know, a 20-year, I mean, nobody wants to pay for student debt for 20, 30 years, but that's essentially what happens a lot of times. You know, I've had negotiations with parents trying to help. I'm going, maybe you need to get an equity line because the interest rate is lower. Or it was, you know, there for a while. And I think it's going to come back down. But, you know, you're spreading out the payment over a longer period of time. But it's manageable, because it really does come down to cash flow. And so if you're feeling like you're being strangled by the debt, you really need to look at cash flow. What's obligated cash flow, and what is discretionary spending?
Yeah.
And that's a tough one for a lot of people.
Well, like you said, we could spend an entire episode talking about the student debt problem in America, but I do want to carve out some time in this episode to talk about this last piece, and that is the lack of financial confidence that women often face in retirement planning. And this comes from a BMO Real Financial Progress Index that they conducted. This was a survey that found sizable gaps in how women reported being educated about personal finance from a young age. And this survey also reports that only 53% of women feel confident enough to retire at their target age, and that 79% of women desire more access to financial literacy resources. So I'm wondering if you can maybe highlight a few areas for us where you see this lack of confidence creating problems for people, and how people can go about, especially women, getting better education when it comes to finances and retirement from trusted sources.
Well, trusted sources would be a key point there.
Yeah, I threw that in at the end, a little keyword.
because there is a plethora of information on the internet. There are several sites that are educational. I mean, their purpose is finance education. It's just, do you know about them? Do you go to them? And then how much of this information actually applies to your situation? That's always the difficult piece for people to take on board. What does this mean for me? How do I put this into my plan? What is holistic planning? Can I even do it? Does it make sense? And if you're getting close to retirement, let's say you're in your 40s and you're looking, you know, my gosh, am I going to be able to even retire when I hit 60? There needs to be a pretty realistic conversation of, okay, what's happening now, projecting forward, because all retirement planning is looking at the big picture and projecting forward. Now, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone in 10 years. So it's really important to at least understand in context what's going on, what your cash flow is, what your savings rate is, what's a realistic rate of return, what should your investments be? And then, you know, and that does take ongoing education, but it has to be education in context of what is real for you. Unfortunately, a lot of women have told me over the years, I don't know anything about this, and I really don't want to know. Okay, that's an interesting viewpoint. And if you become widowed or divorced, you're going to need to know. So where are you going for this information? Obviously, I highly recommend a holistic advisor, a comprehensive advisor that's going to put things in context. That's what we do. I mean, the reason I came into this business to begin with is because I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be the holistic advisor I couldn't find.
Yeah. This is like your story, right?
Yeah,
This whole lack of confidence and knowledge and education.
And it's not that, you know, there are a lot of good male advisors. To be fair, there are. What I noticed is sometimes they're talking up here and they're talking about economics and they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And I'm like, how does that apply to me? How does that apply to our situation? I wasn't hearing that. And I think a lot of women can relate to the fact that when sometimes you're talking to a male advisor and your husband is sitting next to you, he's looking at your husband a lot of times. So because, you know, in almost, well, the majority of cases, it's the husband making the investment decisions while the women make 85% of the purchasing decisions. So you need to be on the same page financially. And that takes somebody who's willing to sit with you and go, okay, and look at the woman and go, you have a different point of view. What's your view? You know, what's your outlook? But that's starting to happen. It didn't happen 20 years ago. And so that's why it's really important that you find the right advisor who's willing to work with you on that, because women outlive men. And so you're going to have to deal with some of this, whether you want to or not. So it's much better to be prepared.
That confidence will unlock a lot of freedom during your retirement as well. And so
we
want educated clients, right? You want people coming through the door, Janine, who are going to be able to learn and get that education and have that confidence to carry them through retirement planning process and all the way through retirement, because they're going to be much more successful if they do that. And so that's part of the mission of the show here, to address some of these obstacles and these issues that we've talked about on these past two episodes and help empower you a little bit more when it comes to your financial situation and financial progress. And so if you'd like to talk with Janine a little bit more in depth about the planning process, ask some questions that might be on your mind that you're thinking about when it comes to retirement and financial planning and trying to figure out your path forward, Janine can set up a complimentary consultation and visit with you. All you have to do to set that up is call her at 443-718-6311. That's 443-718-6311. Or go online to TheusWealthAdvisors.com, TheusWealthAdvisors.com. We're going to put that contact information in the description of today's show so you can find it very easily. Janine, thank you so much for your help on the show today. Look forward to another great topic with you next week.
Thanks so much, Walter. I always enjoy it.
Take care. Absolutely. Keep rocking retirement, will you? This has been the Rockin' Retirement Podcast, busier than ever and on a mission. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube. Like this video as well if you're watching us so you can help spread the word to other folks. And you can also subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and other audio podcasting platforms. Thanks for joining us. For Janine, I'm Walter, and we'll see you next time on Rockin' Retirement.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.